Hello, hello, hello. Happy Monday to each and every one of you who may be listening. My name is Linda Sims. The name of this program is called A Voice of a People. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh107.1fmradio. And this is WWGH107.1 FM. You can download free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. See, we have more than one way that you can stay connected with us and be connected with us. So write some of those things down. Share with other people who may be interested in the many talk show programs we have to offer you. I'm sure you will find one or two at your liking, hopefully more than that. Once again, it is Monday. If you would like to call in with any comments or questions concerning the show today, Lakeen Campbell will be my guest. He is the author of Explicit Exposure. He will be calling in a few minutes, okay? The telephone number to call in is 740-383-9944, okay? And if you can't get through today, please don't forget to call in tomorrow. I will be on the air also tomorrow, and maybe I could answer some of the questions you may have concerning the interview that I will be conducting today with Lakeen Campbell. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. Last but not least, we have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement every second Saturday of every month, which means a week from this Saturday, they have free produce market at their church address on Lee Street, 582 Lee Street. The time of that is from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Something else that you can note your calendars for or share with someone you know may be in need of some free produce. I have a thought for you today, and it is called An Inner Sanctuary of Silence. And maybe I'll have to read it after I answer the phone, huh?
Hello,
caller.
Hello.
Hi, Lakeen.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's such good news.
Thank you.
Yeah. When I was trying to get a hold of you a few months back, you was in the process of transitioning, right?
Right.
So how's that going for you?
Everything's great now. Everything's working out and wonderful for me.
That's great. So you're getting used to your new area.
Well, actually, I was used to it before. You know, I mean, this is where I'm from, so.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause someone
so just getting settled in and, you know, still putting the book together, so everything's fine now.
Right. And someone is asking me, well, I know the Campbells. Is he related to the Campbells here? I'm saying, I'm not really sure. I don't think so.
No, I'm not.
I didn't think so. Well, it's so good to hear your voice.
Well, you as well. Thank you. It's been a long time since we spoke.
Yeah, maybe too long, but reason for everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, such a motivated young man, and you have inspired so many people with your life story and
Praise Were you God. The founder of Word on the Street?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I thought so. And many people may know you by that if they don't know you by your name, because that was pretty prevalent a few years back here.
Right, right.
Right. And you shared your testimony about your life and some of the most outstanding things that maybe have pushed you to write this book.
Yeah, yeah. I just felt like, you know, me, you know, speaking like I was, you know, going to different rehab centers and prisons, and the response that I was getting or seeing, you know, while I was, you know, speaking, just led me, I need to get it out more. More people need to hear it because of the reactions that I was getting, you know, for God to change someone that lived a life like I lived. I didn't, you know, think it was that many people living lives like that or, you know, involved in the struggle that far or deep.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, and, you know, they just, when they hear it or, you know, when they read about it, it's a life-changing or it's a thought process that starts, you know, it's a seed that's planted. So it just made me think that I need to get it out more. And that's why I wrote the book.
So how does it feel being an author?
It's amazing, to be honest, because, I never thought for 1 minute when I was out there living worldly that this would be a title I would have. I mean, not even looking at a title on my name other than, you know, what I was, Hustler. But this is an honor for me. You know, this is outstanding for me. So I'm loving this. So I'm just trying to add more to it now.
Amen.
A lot of people need to see that. A lot of people need to know, you know, that it's other things rather than the streets.
True. A lot of young men need to know that.
Right, right.
You know, and you try to tell them, and I don't know what it is, can't reach some of them.
Right.
Maybe they're too immature to understand, or maybe they think they know the way.
Yeah, that's what it is. Everybody thinks they know, because I know I sure did. I had to fall in bump my head a couple times.
And you titled your book, Explicit Exposure. Explain explicit for us.
I get that question a lot.
I bet you do.
I just believe the way my life was given to me, the way it was, you know, it was exposed. It was just, you know, clear and, how should I say, it was not good, you know, but I knew exactly what it was. It wasn't good at all, but I knew exactly what it was. And, I mean, it was just, it's what I chose, but I knew it wasn't the right way to go. But I chose that because I didn't know another way to go, or I wasn't trained properly in the way I should go. So I didn't know another way to go, and I wasn't trained in that way to go a different way. So I chose this way because I had seen this way.
Right.
I've seen rewards of that way. And I was trained in that way to go, so that's the way that I chose. So it was just, you know, it was explicitly exposed. My life, that's how I was given, that's how I received it.
Yes.
If you understand that.
Yes, I do. I do understand that, you know.
Good.
Because like you're saying, you're trying to live your life, and you're going by the pattern that you were shown, that you saw.
Right.
And I think that goes for a lot of young men. And so,
absolutely.
Just talk about some of the things that inspired you to take the path that you took in the beginning.
Absolutely.
Was it TV or being around the environment or just watching someone maybe you had admired?
Right.
Because I'm kind of asking because I don't know how some of these young men get going that wrong way and you can't turn them around.
Well, I mean, it's mostly for me, it was just the environments I grew up in, you know.
Right.
My mother was a single mother due to my father's death, you know, supporting me and my two sisters. And, you know, I just had the streets. I had the neighborhood to see every day, going to school, you know, what I saw in the city of Columbus all day. And, you know, whoever, anybody knows about Columbus, you know what Columbus is about. But, you know, the different neighborhoods I lived in, I lived on the east side, the north side, the south side. So, I mean, we, you know, it's just seeing those type of things in the neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's all I seen. So that's what I chose because that's what I see. I was comfortable with what I was seeing. It wasn't a bother. You know, like you got gangsters and alcoholics and prostitutes on the corner, but me as a young fella, but this being my neighborhood, I was used to seeing that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And those people were used to seeing me, so I was just one of the, you know, youngsters coming up. I never got bothered, you know, by those people, so it was just what I was seeing. So that's what I'm thinking, you know, this is it.
Right, right. So the audience, what's the age group, or are you trying to reach young men, young women, or just people in general?
When I first started ministry, I was focused on the youth altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But the like I said, the response that I get, I can't say that that's just for them only. It's just for youth. I do focus on the youth a lot more than I do older people, but older people reach out and they give me, you know, they talk to me. It's, you know, hey, I'm going through this. You know, how you talk about this? Young people don't really want to talk about it unless they hear about it. Then they want to talk about it. But older people, they're more comfortable and they don't mind, you know, talking about it. So I can't say I focus on either one now. I focus on both now. You know, race, creed, culture. It doesn't matter now.
Right, I understand that. And in your opinion, why do you think it's so hard for some of these young people to open up?
Hurt, trust issues, pain. I want to say that's my thing. You know, when I was coming up, you know, I didn't trust people because of what I saw, what things that I've been through. You know, family and friends hurting you. So you don't open up because you don't trust nobody. You can't really give your love to somebody because it feels like when you do, they stab you in the back. And, you know, nobody wants to get hurt, so they keep to themselves. So, you know, that's what the biggest thing is trust and love issues, you know, which is the most powerful thing is love. But, you know, people really don't understand love. That's why we need Jesus to fully understand love.
You just said a mouthful.
Yeah.
From eternity to eternity, how many people understand love?
We're not even taught that. You know, I mean, we taught to, you know, love our siblings and mother and father, our aunts and uncles, our family, rather. But we're not really taught love like the Word of God explains love to us, like the Word of God shows us love. We're not really taught that. You know, I've had conversations with people, if we were taught the Word of God from birth, like we are taught how to, you know, eat cereal, brush our teeth, and tie our shoes, you know, like we're taught to, you know, use the restroom. If we're taught the Word of God, the world would be different. But we're not taught that.
You're right. I know we've had several interviews over the past few years since I've been on the radio. And I think we talked about some of those things where when I went to school, one day a week we went across the street to the church and we had like a Bible study and learned little songs, you know, and did little images, you know, angels or whatever, and learn a Bible verse.
Right.
You know, but that's not in our schools anymore.
Right.
You know, open up classroom with the Lord's Prayer and then address the flag, salute the flag. But now it's just salute the flag, if that, you know. And it's just, and I also want you to speak to the climate of today and where we're living and how important is us to incorporate the Word of God back into society.
The way the world is today, I mean, that's just, it has to start with, you know, the parents, you know. But, you know, you have a culture and, you know, you have TV and music that are leading people straight to hell. And I'm not going to sugarcoat that. That's exactly what it's doing. And it's up to us as Christians to get out here in the streets. You know, we can't stay in the house or in the church all the time. We have to get out here. It says the highways and byways, and we have to take this word out here and speak the truth and deliver it to people, whether it's at retirement centers, whether it's hospitals, whether it's at daycare, whether it's, you know, speaking in conferences, whether it's churches or in the park or in, you know, apartment complexes, wherever it is, we should go out there and we should teach the Word of God. And that, I believe that's the only way. I mean, everybody's not going to receive it, but I believe that's the only way. And I believe we're required to do that, regardless if people choose not to or choose to. I believe that we're required to do that, and everybody should do that in order to get the gospel out. I mean, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you know, we require from that moment to go and tell everybody how about our feelings, you know, about our relationship, about, you know, what God has done for us, what he's delivered us from, how he's changed us. And we can't keep that to ourselves. We shouldn't. If we do, we shouldn't keep that to ourselves, because it's millions of people who want to know Jesus, who want to have a changed life, and they just don't know how to find it. Mm-hmm. And we need to, as children of God, as you know, to go out there and teach and speak. We all have different gifts and different talents, different ways, you know, to do it. Everybody's not the same. It's not always, you know, being in a pulpit teaching the Word of God. It's not always you have to be a pastor. It's multiple ways, thousands of different ways to get the Word of God out. And everybody has different gifts and different talents for that purpose. That's why everybody's not the same. And I just believe we all need to get out there and speak the Word of God, teach the Word of God some kind of way, whatever gift or talent you have. You know, ask God to help you, you know, develop that or understand whatever gift and talent that you have in order to reach people, and he will do just that.
Absolutely. You're so right about that. Because God says, I stand at the door and knock, you know. I'm trying to get in, but you won't let me in.
Yeah.
you know, and, you know, we're going through also this pandemic during the time of the release of your book, Explicit Exposure. Do you think that... I really don't think that God calls it, but I think it's a tool that God can use. The pandemic, that we were just too busy, and that God has used it to help slow us down, that maybe we can get out there in those highways and byways. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What do you think about that?
I see how, well, I spoke to my pastor about that, and he said, you know, it's just, you know, there's evil in the world, and, you know, that's what man is doing. So I'm not going to say God caused it, but I will say God, you know, will change what Satan tries to use against us to, you know, better things.
Right.
And one thing that I have seen since the pandemic is how families are coming together now. Families are spending more time together, regardless if, you know, we're online or not, or, you know, on our phones. I see that as well. People are on our phones a lot, but I do see families out more, just the families, you know, people are sitting down at the tables having dinner now. You know, that's something that I know hasn't been done since like the '80s, the late '70s and the early '80s when I was a kid. That's what we had, to sit down at the table, but it hasn't been done in a while. And I see that unity coming back, even if we're not allowed, you know, to go to a church. God is bringing that back to our spirit. So when we are able to go back, it'll be more wholesome. It'll be more pure when we go and, you know, start trying to, you know, worship and praise God. So that's what I believe about, you know, this right here. This is how God is using this for unity, for you know. And it's also separating, you know, those who are on the fence. It's letting people see, you know, you really don't have a relationship, you know. It's time right now. You to build this relationship. It's time right now to do a lot of studying. You know, it's time right now, you know, you can do a lot of praying. You know, so God is using this for a multitude of things. I mean, that's how I see it.
I do.
Bringing
too.
People together.
Yes, I do too. And closer
outside to of the church. I'm sorry, but that's it.
You know, when you think about that, I like, well, what? Was I putting too much emphasis on the church? It was sort of like it's a boundary, you know, we're bound in that building, and when we leave there, we go back to our homes, and we may share with our family, we may not, you know, come complacent where we are and just get up, go to Bible study, and whatever events are going on in the church. But God, Jesus himself, he went out and compelled people to come in. He was
a
friend of sinners, and he ate and drank with them. Not saying that he was
regularly
getting drunk,
yeah,
but, you know, just juice or whatever, or a glass of water, you know. But he did that, and he reached out. He reached out to you, and he reached out to me, you know.
Churches that I know we have, and man, you know, I've noticed that people get, you know, complacent with just going to church on Sundays or Wednesday. You know, I'm living right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And from when God gave me word on the street to do there in Marion, I've noticed how many people did not know Jesus Christ right there in our city. So, I mean, we have all those ministers, you know, pastors that are in the city, but not every last one of them is doing outreach. Or if they are doing outreach, is the Word of God involved, or is it just a sport, or is it just, you know, some kind of activity? That's the separation. That's a big thing right there, is people right there in my city that don't know Jesus Christ and they need to know, and there's people going to church every Sunday more focused on themselves rather than focused on others like we're supposed to be. And they're okay. They believe, okay, I'm living right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the church. And I just don't. That, me personally, I believe there's more to this walk of faith than just going to church every Sunday. And I mean, God just let it be seen right now. Let's have church outside of church. Let's do, you know, saying let's speak, or let's teach the gospel outside of the four walls.
Yeah.
And I mean, I believe that's just what's going on right now. God is just bringing people together and helping more people learn about Jesus Christ, because the name of Jesus is so major right now because of this pandemic.
Yes.
I mean, it's obvious where, you know, you can try to keep us out of the schools, you know, you can try to, you know, separate, you know, the churches or close the churches. And you're not doing nothing but magnifying the Word of God in the name of Jesus Christ, which I'm loving it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the spiritual warfare, it's on.
Yeah. I mean, it's people asking me about Jesus, you know, call people I don't normally talk to. You know, people calling me on Facebook wanting to talk about this stuff. People reading my book wanting to talk about things that I've been through. You know, well, how did you do this? Well, how did that happen? How did you respond to that? Even people that I'm married, you know, I haven't been married before, but, you know, they're calling me because they see, you know, I experience relationship issues, and how did you handle this? And here we go with the Word of God, because that's all that's coming out of me. That's all that's going to come out of me. And it just, you know, people are hungry, they're thirsty for Jesus Christ. And if they're not getting it, you know, they don't always know where to go find it, go to look for it. Or if they, right now the churches is closed, so they can't go to the church. And before, you know, maybe somebody got hurt in the church, so they're not wanting to go to the church. So show me another way, a different way to, you know, get Jesus Christ. Okay, here goes an outreach event. And, you know, every time we did a word on the street, it was major. It was nothing small. That's because people are thirsty. They're very hungry for Jesus Christ. They just want to be able to receive it and not be hurt.
And that was one of the greatest things I thought about word on the street, because it was not in the four walls of the church. It was outside where you could reach more and more young people, more and more people. You know, that's why it was so big.
Yeah, I believe so.
You know, there's so much stigma about the church. Like you said, people have been hurt in the church. They've tried the church. Maybe they couldn't get in the flow of things, you know, and there's so many barriers in the church.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they don't feel free. But just think, outside where Jesus walked and talked with many people, you know, he may walk up in their synagogues or whatever, you know, or go to their wedding banquets. He was that type of person. He still is that type of person. And I think I agree with you that he wants us to be those type of people.
Yeah.
Just like him.
Yeah, I believe that as well. Because, I mean, you could see, it didn't matter who you were, you could see the anointing that was on Word on the Street. I mean, it made a wave in Marion. We had different churches that I never even knew anything about, pastors, and their first ladies was coming to Words on the Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew that till people told me, you know, that is such as pastor so-and-so, you know. But, you know, they're recognizing, okay, I want to be involved, because this is a move of God right here. That's not just about that man right there. That's not just about that woman or that fellow. It's, this is a move of God.
Yes, it is. And it still is. And he's still moving in your life, and you're still moving people closer and closer toward him. I have to apologize. I do not have a copy of your book as of yet. But
you'll
I want
it.
You to, and you know, whet our appetites just a little bit and give us a little snippet of your most inspired chapter, you think, in your book.
Wow. My most inspired chapter.
That inspired you to most even write it.
Now I have to open it. I know. I just got to get the name of it.
Okay.
I want to say, the last chapter, which is, it says, I answered his call. But I'm going to go back up to chapter 9.
Okay.
And chapter 9 is Not Sure Why. And that's when I was in my accident in 2006. And, you know, at that point in time, I was trying to change my life on my own without Jesus Christ, without mm-hmm. God, you know, author, finisher of my faith, you know. And I would have changed, but I would still have been the same type of person. My spirit would have been the same. My soul still would have been damned because I was still, you know, out there.
Right.
Just would have been not in the streets. And once I got injured, like I did, God set me down. You know, I mean, as many times, I mean, there's different periods in my life. Things I didn't put in my book. Like, it was one time I've been stabbed in the back, you know. I didn't look at that part as, you know, I need to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was times that I had been shot at, you know, but I didn't look at that like I need to change my life. It wasn't until this situation where I was placed in a coma for 10 days and woke up and realized life had just disappeared for 10 days. You know, that's a major eye opener. For your life to have disappeared for 10 days.
Yeah.
And you know, how did I get here? That's where I was. Why am I in the hospital? What's going on?
Right.
And so through my therapy, the Holy Spirit, you know, was just leading me and guiding me and was teaching me and training me. And I was actually opening myself up to God, which, I mean, I talked to God, but the way I talked to God at that point in time, you know, I was asking God, you know, you're going to have to do this. You know, I don't know any other way to survive. I don't know any other way to build. And you're going to have to do this. I mean, it was just the Holy Spirit preparing me for me letting go, for me to submit, you know, my life and give my life to God through Jesus, through my faith in Jesus Christ. And that was the most, or the deepest, or the, I mean, however you want to say it, that was the most important part of my life because I was helpless. I was literally helpless because I didn't want to rely on myself no more, and that's just unheard of if you've grown up how I've grown up. You know, if you live where I lived and, you know, experience what I experienced, you had to have control over everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just what it is, and I felt like I was helpless at that point in time, and God showed me, I got control. I'm the reason why you're still breathing. I'm the one that brought you back.
Woo.
I saved you, you know, when you got stabbed. I saved you when, you know, you was getting shot at. I'm the reason why you're here today.
And you was just shaking it off like it wasn't nothing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's other things he took from me. Like, I'm supposed to be having seizures. He said, no, you're not going to do that. I'm going to take that from you, too.
Praise God.
It's a whole lot of things he took from me, which the doctor said, you know, I should be experiencing because of my injury. And God said, no, not that. Not you.
Jesus.
So, I mean, just that point in time in my life is the most. And that was the transition of all transitions. And I believe that solidified my faith because I had 365 days of God. Mm. I went through therapy for 1 year, and that's all I could do was talk to God. That's it. I mean, I wrote in my book, I used to walk around at 3 or 4 in the morning, snotting and crying and bawling like a baby. because I didn't have control, and I knew I didn't have control. Okay, I need to know who has control. And the Holy Spirit, he let me know. And this is where I am today with him.
And he still has control.
Still. Still directs my steps.
Ooh, boy.
And they say, and life is great. Life is wonderful. You know, my spirit is good. My faith is good. My thoughts, my mind is good. My finances is growing. I mean, everything is my love life, everything, beautiful. Everything. You know, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I went through my wilderness period, you know, but it's fulfilling. It's worth it. It's very much worth it. Everything I've been through was worth it because I have Jesus Christ now.
Amen. And he's more than the whole world.
Everything. Everything. Every experience that I've had, he's worth it.
Wow. That's powerful. That's really powerful. I can't wait to read it.
I can't wait
to read your book. I know a lot of people have been talking about it. A few anyway. And as you said, we all have to go through a wilderness period. Right now, I am watching the Ten Commandments, and it is a series on this new channel called the Faith Channel on, you know, throughout the Gospels, right? Gospel channels.
Okay.
And right now, it's on Moses in the wilderness after he had killed a man and left Egypt.
Egypt, right.
And he's met his bride, Zipporah, and they have two children, and a lamb got lost. This is how they set up the scene. And he goes to find the lamb, and then he sees the bush on fire. But all that he went through in that desert alone, and walking, and thinking about the dust storms, the wind storms that blow, the sandstorms, that's what they're called, and how he traveled through that desert, and who knows how long he walked in that desert. Water.
Right.
Did he have water? You know, he was just an outcast.
Right.
You know, and it's sometimes, you know, I say, well, Lord, we're so hard-headed, Lakeem. We are so arrogant and hard-headed. And no matter what God tries to do without killing us to get our attention, we just don't hear. And I heard that when you said, when you could no longer do anything for yourself, you realized there was another power other than yourself trying to make your way through life.
Yeah.
Still coming up with that big fat zero. Still not going anywhere. Thinking you are, you're treading. You know, you're treading the corn. We think we're going somewhere, but we're not going anywhere. Not alone. Not anywhere. And I'm just really heated up and fired up. And I'm so glad that you birthed this book out of your experience, out of your life, out of when you were 365 days in God. See, people don't understand that. They don't. They don't understand that's what it takes for God to change you. And you're no longer the same. Don't understand that.
Well, I can't say that it'll take that much for that long for everybody else.
It takes a while. But think about Moses. 40 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said about, you know, people being outcasts. I mean, that's something that I've So I was, you know. I don't know how many people, you know, feel that they're, you know, outcasts and unaccepted. So they accept a different lifestyle in order to be accepted. You know, that's just like what I did. But, you know, it doesn't take what happened to me for people to, you know, realize or see that God loves them, you know, because for him to change me from what I was doing, that showed me love, you know, which I never knew. I didn't know it before, right. You know, you know the love from your parents, but God showed me, okay, I love you, you know, and I can change you. I can give you what your heart desires, what you're trying to get out here in these streets and you're never going to get, I can give you that.
Right.
But I had to be, I was, like you say, I was hard-headed, you know?
Yeah.
I had to really have my eyes open, you know? But everybody, that's the whole purpose of this book. You know, like some people say, you know, I try to tell you things or teach you things so you don't have to make the same mistakes that I made. And that's what I try to do with this book. I try to, you know, help this be an eye-opener so you don't have to fall on the same speed bumps that I fell on. You know, you don't have to go the same obstacle course that I went on. And you can be assured that, you know, whatever issues or problems that you're having in life, all you have to do is ask God for help, and he gonna help you. And you know, the world just tells us different. You know, God don't listen to you. God don't hear your prayers. No, that's a lie. You know, reject that. Or if, because you believe, you open your mouth and you ask God to help, that's what moves God, your faith.
Yes.
First, you got to have faith. Ain't that what the word says? I mean,
yes.
Because you believe and you say, okay, God, I need you to do this for me. That right there causes God to move in your life. So don't ever be afraid, you know, to open your mouth or think God ain't listening to you because you ain't never prayed before or, you know, you don't know how to pray. How you pray is just, you know, you just talk to him. Just like you talk to anybody else. That's how you talk to God. You know, and I just try to, you know, through this book, help people see, you know, a different way. You know, I'm talking to people and, you know, trying to get this book out in many other different ways so it'll be received in many other different ways rather than just reading Audible, you know, or, you know, other kind of ways. But still, I'm trying to get it out there so people can see God can change you. God can help you, you know, through your faith in Jesus Christ. God can fix and change everything. It doesn't matter how far on the ground. I just talked to somebody last night, and they was talking about they're at their lowest. And I said, well, we serve a catapult God. You know what I'm saying? And the catapult,
yeah.
They pull a catapult all the way to the ground before it gets shot up. And, I mean, that's just what it is now. God is changing things, you know. If you open your mouth and you pray to God and ask God for something, the change is going to start. You might, oh, I don't know why this is happening. It's because you open your mouth and you pray and ask God for help. God hears you. Don't be afraid to ask God for anything. But when he starts changing things, start, you know, changing, let it happen. This is the process. I mean, it's just where me, I was out there, you know, thinking I needed to have all the power. You know, that's what you do in the streets. You think you need to have all the power and respect. So that's what I was aiming for. But when I realized that I didn't have that, okay, I need to know who does. You know what I'm saying? Who has this power over me? Because I believe I have all this power. I believe I mean everything because it's just, I just had to know. And once I found out, it was the truth, you know. Yes, he does. You know, I didn't get Jesus Christ from a man. I didn't get Jesus Christ from a woman. I got this experience from God.
Amen.
Like Jesus told Peter, no man gave you this. You got this from my Father.
Right.
That was me. I got this from God. So I have a godly experience, and that solidified my faith. I know who the true power is.
Amen.
I know where it's at now, and I'm finna let everybody know how we can live free.
Amen.
How we can change our life and live, what the word say, abundant.
Abundantly.
And how we can get it.
Amen.
You know, the word is, ooh-wee. That's, I mean, you know, and this is just the first book. I know what he's coming with next, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
So your aspirations is already ready. You're already making notes, aren't you?
Oh, man, I've been doing this for a while.
Oh.
I mean, it was just life issues that, you know, tried to prevent me from completing this book. And, I mean, I had to learn. You know, I had to go through my wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
I just never threw in the towel.
Right.
You know, that's just, you know, like I had a couple fellas ask me before, you know, how do you keep it? You know, how do you keep this Jesus? How do you keep living like you're living? Man, I just never quit. I mean, I'm faced with the same obstacles and same problems and trials and tests as any other man. I just never quit. I just never threw in the towel. I may have failed, may have stumbled, you know, but I get back up and I'm back in the faith.
Yes.
And God is a rewarder of those who seek him.
Yes, and I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until he return again.
Say that. Say that. Say that.
That's how we keep it. He keeps us.
Yeah.
Oh, he's able.
Yeah.
He's able. Oh, my, my, my. Mm. And you're so right. If he don't tell you who he is, oh, just don't take anybody's word for it, okay? Because he definitely has to give you the revelation as it was given to Peter of who he is exactly.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people don't know that, and a lot of them are in the church.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's where we come in, you know. We got to get that word out there to them.
Amen. Amen. Boy, that's just set it. Me on fire when I said that. He's able to keep you.
I know he
you,
kept me, you know.
Yeah, he's still keeping you.
Yeah, yeah. And that's everybody else.
Yes. Like you said, you already know what the next book coming out of you is going to be.
Ma'am.
I know it's going to be powerful. I thank God for you. Powerful man of God, young man of God. Stiff neck people. Yes. Made me think about the Israelites watching the Ten. That's one of my favorite movies anyway, the Ten Commandments, back in the day when Charlton Heston and your brother.
Right.
I got that taped anywhere and I can watch it anytime. But when they came out with this series and I thought about where we are today, and then this George Floyd, the killing of our black males and females, and we have about 2 minutes. Could you speak to maybe some of our listeners about the climate that we're in, where that is concerned?
Because
I know a lot of young people are confused about this. And
on top of everything, I want to say use your mind about it. Don't use your brawn. You know, I know it. It's very upsetting, but violence leads to violence. I mean, there's no other way around that.
True.
And I mean, you know, we're very smart and intelligent people, and we need to, you know, use our brains, use our minds in order to fix this. It's a way to fix it. I mean, the number one way is praying. I don't care who says it's not. You know, open your mouth and speak to God. You know, that's the number one thing. But we need to be smart about how we do things. I mean, because we don't want it to get worse.
No. No.
And I mean, you know,
we got a lot going on all at once. You know.
I mean, I also see, you know, because of this unity. I was just thinking that today. I was just thinking that I see unity in, you know, black people.
Yes.
Which is, you know, something we don't normally have.
That's
but
true.
You know, that's what we're having now, you know, and you know the protest that, you know, Martin Luther King was doing back in the days, you know, we're doing them now like he was doing them, you
yes.
know.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you got a couple riffraffs that, you know, still, you know, out doing their thing, but you know, we're doing it majorly the right way.
Amen. We are out of time, Lakeem. I am so sorry. I thank you so much for the time that we have had together, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
God
bless you. This new book you got coming, and you stay in touch, and I'll try to stay in touch with you. Lakeem Campbell, author of Explicit Exposure. You be blessed, Lakeem.
You as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I hope many of you who were listening got a chance to hear Lakeem Campbell, the author of Explicit Exposure. We're out of time. My name is Linda Sims. You've been listening to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same station. It's 4:15 until 5 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you. God bless.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, 2 times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to, and I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds the kindness